Appreciate each of you that was able to come out on this Wednesday night. Be sure to remember to pray for our Christmas Sunday meeting. That's like Caleb said, to bring a friend. So we're looking for a big crowd that day. And pray that the Lord would use the messages and the singing and the little kids to hopefully we'll see somebody saved. And I'm looking forward to that. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, what we did last week is we just looked at verse 1. The unity of the Spirit. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation which you are called. We just dealt with that one verse. And tonight, we're going to move on to verse 2. And there's a lot in this. And let's go ahead and let me read verse 2, which is what we're going to try to cover this evening. It says, let me put these two verses together again. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation. Vocation, not vacation. Vocation, wherewith you are called. With all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful tonight for all these people that come out and young people. And Father, we pray that you would anoint these lips of clay, that I'd be able to bring a message that's understandable. We pray that the folks would prosper as a result of hearing your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I probably will do 2 and 3 if I'm able to do it. But when you look at these particular verse 2, you have 5 traits there, 5 character traits of a worthy walk, and that's what's going to be our title. Once you're born again, once you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, there's a walk you have with Jesus. Everybody got me? And it talks about that in this text. We're to have a worthy walk. You see that back in verse 1? You walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. Now, what's a worthy walk? Well, if you're a Christian, you should act like it, for one thing. Act like it and live like it. If you know Jesus and you've trusted him as your Savior, you should conduct yourself as a child of God. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at these 5 character traits. There's 5 character traits here, and here's what they are: lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, and then love. So those are 5 character traits. A couple of them, the fruit of the Spirit. And, of course, really all of these traits, the Holy Spirit has to work these things in us. But if you want to have a good walk with the Lord, you need to have these traits. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at each one of them this evening. When you're saved, when you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, these 5 traits should describe us. All God's people say it. These should describe us. And we're going to look at what each one is, and we get done 10 minutes, we'll quit. Which that's probably ain't going to happen, is it? But we're going to look at 5 of them. All right, let's go ahead and look at the first one. It says to walk worthy of your vocation. You're a Christian, act like it and live like it. Wherewith you're called, with all lowliness. Now, the first one is the word lowliness. And the idea of lowliness is humility, humble. God wants his children to be humble, humble people. And that's the idea of the word lowliness. In the book of 1 Corinthians 4, now, if you can't find things, this all is close by, so I'm not going to run you to death. This will give you the idea of what lowliness is. The opposite of it, as I've already said, is pride. God hates pride. You're never acting more like the devil than when you're prideful. We don't have anything to be prideful about other than our Lord and the grace and the salvation that he has given us. Now, notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Now, here's a verse that will keep you humble. Or sometimes you got to remember verses that will keep you thinking like you should. And here's one of those verses that will keep you lowly in your deportment. Notice what it says. Here's a question. And the reason why there's questions here is he wants you to answer these things in your mind. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Who made you to differ from another? Well, I stopped there just for a minute. Who made you to differ from another? Y'all want to answer it?
God.
God, right. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd still be in our sin. We'd still be in our sin. And you can't never forget that. You never forget where you come from, so to speak. You never forget the mess that the Lord brought you out of. And it keeps you humble. So that keeps you lowly. And this is lowliness in a good thing. And the opposite of it, like I've already said, would be prideful. Who made you to differ from another? All right, ready for the next one? Next question. This keeps you lowly. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? What do you have that you have not received? Do you know everything you got, God gave to you? Y'all ever consider that? Everything you got, God gave you. Everything you know how to do, God gave you. Everything you know about the Lord, God gave you. So that's why I said, what do you have that you haven't received? Why would you glory about yourself if God's the one who gave it to you anyhow? He wants you to glory in Him. See, the reason why I'm reading this verse is it keeps you lowly. God's the one that made you. Your reason you're born again, the reason why you're sitting there tonight saved, is because of the Lord. He's the one that did it. He's the one that gets the glory for it. Who made you to differ? God did. All right. Now let's go ahead and read on. Now if thou hast received it, why dost thou glory as if you have not received it? We don't have anything to glory in, and like I've already mentioned, if you're going to glory, Scripture says, if you're going to glory, you glory in Him. All God's people say it. So we're to have the type of attitude of lowliness. He's the one that made us to differ. If it wasn't for Him, where would we be at today? If it wasn't for His grace, where would we be at today? Now look at 1 Corinthians 15. This is the one that quote probably more than any other. And this was the Apostle Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, and he's talking about himself. And I love it. I love this verse. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the what?
Grace of God.
Yeah, that means he didn't earn grace. You don't earn grace. God bestows grace and gives grace. He bestowed His grace on us. Notice what it says. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me. Stop. His grace was what? He bestowed it on you. He laid the grace on you the day that He saved you. You're in sin, and God bestowed upon you His grace. And the reason why you're saved and you are what you are is because of His grace. And if it wasn't for His grace, you would still be in your sin. And nobody else knew that any better than the man that wrote this book, the Apostle Paul. No one knew that any better than him. He was a religious sinner, and he persecuted God's people, put them in jail, put them in chains. And the day he was saved, he was going up to the road to Damascus to bring all the saints up there and put them in prison. But what happened to him? What happened to Paul on the road to Damascus? God intervened in his life. Now, he's a great example of God's grace. He didn't go up there looking for Jesus. He was going up there looking to put them in chains. And God laid him flat on his back. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What he said. And buddy, that day on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul. Who made him to differ? Remember our first question? Who made him to differ? Who made you to differ? Wasn't for him, you'd still be in your sin. And you need to give him glory for that. Now, I think true lowliness begins. Let's turn to Luke 18. Now, if you can't find things, I understand that, and I'll read it for you. I don't want to lose you looking. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and verse 18. We need these traits. We must have these traits if we're born again. We're to be a lowly people. Another idea of lowliness is being poor in spirit. You remember that beatitude, being poor in spirit? We're not to think too highly of ourselves. Scripture also says that. We're to have a lowly mind. Now, Luke chapter 18, and let's notice the verse 10. Now, I want you to watch who was lowly and who was not. Who was prideful and who was not. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, which was a religious lost man, really. They weren't really saved. They believed in God and they believed in creation. They believed a lot of things. But they rejected Jesus. And Jesus is the means of salvation. They rejected him. They were religious sinners is what they were. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a publican. Of course, we've talked a lot about the publicans. They were tax collectors that took taxes from their own people. They usually stole from their own people, too. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men. How's that sound to you? Does that sound arrogant to you? Does that sound prideful? Does it even sound like he's lowly? Listen to this man pray. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Probably looked over and seen the publican there and said, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, did he sound lowly? All the eyes shows how big he thought of himself. He wasn't lowly. He was prideful. God hates that. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. God won't tolerate it in his people. He won't tolerate it. Bad thing about that is he'll bring you down for pride big time. And that can be a big fall, too. So when the Holy Spirit brings to your man lowliness, that you need to be more lowly or more humble, that's the idea of humility, then you best get rid of it or God will work it out of you. All God's people say it. You don't put up with that kind of stuff. You really don't. Okay? So, let me go ahead and read. Let me read this one more time because Luke 18, and notice what it says at verse 10. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift so much of his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me. What to say the rest of it? I tell you, this man went home how? Justified. Declared righteous. Declared righteous. Was he prideful? No, he humbled himself. And that's what it takes. You need to be humble and lowly. And God wants his people that way. He wants the day of salvation is when you really, truly became lowly. Humble. And then we grow in it as time goes on. Beloved, do y'all agree with me tonight that God's people ought to be an humble people? They should be an humble people. Some of my favorite Christian people, of course, all Christians should be humble, but all Christians is not. Did you drop something there? Here you go. But we all should be humble. It's very important that we be that way because I'm telling you, if we get prideful, Scripture says pride goes before a what? Goes before a fall, and he'll work that thing out of you. Let's go back to our text. Back to Ephesians 4. See why I just did this one verse? Because there's just these traits are too important to run fast through. We want to have these. We want to be humble people. And we don't have no reason to be prideful, because everything we got or everything we've done or everything, the reason why we're saved is all because of Him anyhow. He's the one that does it. So we're to have an humble, lowly attitude. Number two, back to our text in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. The next one is meekness. And the idea of the word meek, it says with all lowliness and meekness. The idea of the word meekness is to have a submissive spirit. If someone is meek, they have a submissive spirit to the things of God. In other words, if God's word says it, they submit to it. That's what a submissive spirit is. When God's word says something's wrong, you repent of it and you submit to it, to what the Lord says. That's what the idea of meekness is to be submissive to the will of the Father. Let me give you some examples of it. Where we submit, there's areas of where we should submit. We are to submit to His teachings. We are, number one, to submit to His teachings. When the Lord teaches you things in this book, and you search them things out, and everybody here should search the teachings of God's Word out, when you see and the Holy Spirit convinces you that that's true, you should believe it and stand for it. Meekness is doing that. I've heard people say this before, and you have too. I don't care what that says, I don't believe that. Just well shut the door on that one. They're not submissive. If God's word says it, I believe it. What else goes with that? And that settles it. You go by the scriptures. And meekness is submitting to the Lord's teachings. There's been some teachings that I preached today that when I first heard them, I said to myself, there ain't no way that's true. And I do this with everything, I suppose. I've tried to do this with everything. And Lord, if this is truth, if this is from You, show it to me. Can I ask you a question? Do you think He'll show it to you if you ask Him? If it's Bible, He will. But you got to become lowly in that. People's too arrogant to look things up. Many people are too arrogant to look it up. They won't acknowledge it even when they see it. You ever seen it happen? I've seen it happen a lot. They can look right at it and still not see it. And, buddy, you need to be submissive to God's teachings. All God's people see it. Meekness is also, I'm going to explain a little bit further, meekness is also a temper of spirit. Are you ready? It's also a temper of spirit in which we accept His dealings with us as being for our good. Meekness is a submissive spirit in which we accept His dealings with us as being for our good. Oh, God's people say it. You got to be meek in the idea of having a submissive spirit. Some things has happened in my life that I haven't liked. And I ain't going to submit to that. Well, you best submit to it. You best submit to it. God has a purpose for the things that He permits in your life has a purpose and a reason. And you might not know what the reason is, but until you get the news flash of why it's happened, trust Him. Trust Him. He knows what He's doing. He's got a purpose for everything He permits, and you submit to it. That's what I try to do in everything that comes into my life. I said, Lord, I know You have a purpose. Listen, I say, Lord, I know you got a purpose for it. I don't understand it and I don't like it, but I submit to it. And I know one day, whether it's in this life or the next, it'll all make perfect sense when I get all the information. And what he wants you to do is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. You submit to it. All God's people said. He works that way. So meekness. Meekness is being meek and lowly, but also is a submissive spirit to what the Lord does in our life. We submit to it. There's a verse of Scripture that we quote all the time, and I quote it all the time. It's part of being meek, submissive. Romans 8:28 says what? Y'all remember? For we know. Everybody say, we know. We know that all things. Stop there just a minute. All what? Did it say some things? I'm asking. We know that all things work together for the good. Now, is that for everybody? No. That's not for everybody. Sinner people quote that all the time. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, people, do you believe it or not? You don't always believe it, though, because you get mad at the Lord over things that he does. Things that he does that you don't understand. When things happen that you don't understand, what's Proverbs 3 say? Y'all remember? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. There's all kinds of things that's happening in my life I don't understand. I don't lean to my understanding. I figure when I get there to heaven and I get all the information, that it'll all make perfect sense in. And until I do, I'm going to do what? I'm going to trust him. All God's people said. And beloved, that's meekness too. It's submitting to his dealings with you. Because we don't submit to him. We get mad at him. Quarrel at him. You're nothing but dust. Don't question the Lord. He knows what he's doing. And when you get all the info on that thing, when you get the memo, not that you're going to get a memo. When you get the memo, it'll make sense then. But until you do, you trust him. If you want to call that blind faith, that'd be good too. That's what it is. I don't see it right now, Lord. I don't see it. But I trust you. All God's people say it. Now that's submission. We did that to salvation when we got saved, didn't we? Submitted to his plan of salvation. But we also submit to the things that he brings into our life. And we trust what he does without question. All God's people say, I got to move on. Let's go back to our text. I don't want to do verse 2 again next week. But you see why this is a long verse? These traits are big deals. They change the way you live, too. All right, notice the next one now, and this is something that probably every one of us fail greatly at. We're talking about to walk worthy. This is how we're to live after we're born again. We're to have lowliness. What's the next one? Meekness. And what's the next one? Here's where we're at now. Long-suffering. Does anybody know what the opposite of long-suffering is? Short-tempered, quick-tempered. I used to have the quickest temper of anybody ever seen in your life. Stewie did too. He was just as bad as I was. Quick-tempered. And then as the Lord deals with your heart, he just mellows you right out. As you grow in Jesus, it just mellows you right out. But we don't need to be short-tempered. We're to be long-suffering as God's people. You have to put up with a lot sometimes. Sometimes people won't do you right. Sometimes even Christian people won't do you right. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes Christian people won't do you right. There's people at home tonight got hurt in the church somewhere. Oh, I'm never going back to church. You'd go somewhere else. Somebody going to hurt you there too. Because churches is made up, even though they're born again, they're made up of imperfect people. And sometimes they're going to make what? They're going to make mistakes. And you have to be long-suffering. That's why it says, it didn't say short-suffering. There's a lot of Baptists that's pretty quick-tempered. Yeah, that's the complete opposite of what this right here means. Long-suffering. Not quick-tempered. Not quick to blow a gasket. Not quick to get mad. All these things need to be part of those that are born again, or not to be part of those that are born again. James 1:19 says we are to be slow to anger, not quick to anger. Slow to anger. And all this falls under what heading? Long suffering. Got to be long suffering. And God will help you that way. You're more long suffering than I am. But we grow in that. I mean, I don't think we have anyone here tonight that I'm at the pinnacle of long-suffering. It's something that we all need to have. And that's where we get this term long-suffering from. Suffering long. You'll put up with a lot. Not quick-tempered and things of that nature. Number four. Lowliness. Are you lowly? Or are you prideful? Are you meek? Meekness also carries the idea of gentleness. I hope I mentioned that. Not quick to blow a gasket, you know. Long-suffering, it covers that too. And now let's get this one. Forbearance. Forbearance is closely related to the one we just had. But forbearance. Notice what it says. Forbearing one another in what? Forbearing one another in love. Now, let me give you what this means. I had to write this one down. It's putting up with others' failures and faults. And it is restraint under provocation. It's closely related to the one, long-suffering and forbearance really does go together. Putting up with others' failures and faults, it is restraint under provocation. That's what it is. Was Jesus forbearant? Wow. No more forbearance in you than him. Was the disciples forbearant? No. James and John got ready to go into a city. Going into a city to witness to them, you know. Jesus sent them ahead. Of course, he knew what was going to happen, but he sent them into this city, and they didn't. They rejected them. Don't come in here. They just flat rejected them. And you know what James and John did? They were real forbearing. They said, Lord, wilt thou that we call down fire out of heaven and wanted to burn up the whole village? Is that forbearant? I mean, think about it. And beloved, we're the same way. We blow a gasket over things like that too. It's a horrible way to be. Not very forbearant. Remember, it's putting up with others' failures and faults. And it's a restraint under provocation. That's what it means to be forbearant. James and John, though, burn up the whole city. God send fire down. Was that forbearing or was their tempers way out of... I think this is why they were called the sons of thunder. I really do. I think it's because of that reason. The two sons of thunder is what they call them. All right? So we need to be a forbearing people. That's what lost people understand. If you work on a job, these traits that I'm giving you, that's what lost people understand. In your family, that's what they see these traits in you. It makes a difference. These are the things you need. All right, let me read them all to you, and then I'll give you the last one and quit. Lowliness is humility. Meekness is being submissive to God's dealings with us. Number three, long-suffering. It's not short-tempered. It's not blowing a gasket real easy, you know. But it's being long-suffering. God works that in you, too. Forbearance is putting up with others' failures and faults. It's restraint under provocation is the idea of forbearance. And God's people need to be that way. And then the last one is for us, I guess, would be one of the easiest far as knowing what it means. But in many cases, still don't get practiced very good. Forbearing one another in what? Love. Love. Or love one another. Is that a command or an option? Is that a command or a choice? Yeah, it's a choice you got to make. But it's a command. Some of God's people ain't too lovable. But some of God's people ain't too lovable. Hey, listen to me. You ain't too warm and fuzzy either sometimes. Yeah, you ain't so warm and fuzzy yourself sometimes. But you got to love one another anyway. Got to love them anyway. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians and the verse 13, chapter 13, I'm sorry. It's called the love chapter. And we'll stop with this. First Corinthians chapter 13 talks about love, what it is. And it uses, if I remember right, it defines love in 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. That's how long it takes to describe true Christian love or charity. See where it says the word charity, that's the word love. It's the best translation is love too. What's it say about love in verse 4? Love is long what? It ain't quick-tempered. It's long-suffering. You put up with. When you love somebody, you'll put up with a lot. When you love something or someone, you'll put up with a lot. See? So love is long-suffering. It's kind. I still do marriage counseling, but I got so hateful, I guess, in my old age. I ain't good at it anymore, you know, but I was in one time, and I said, do you love this girl? Do you love her? And he said, oh, yes. I said, well, why do you treat her the way you do for? 1 Corinthians 13 says love is kind. You're not kind to her. I've seen the way you talk to her. And if that be my daughter, you'd be in bad shape. Hell, we'll start crying. Oh, I was hot over it because I seen some things that really showed how that thing was standing. Love is shown by kindness, see? Then when you're talking about loving somebody, it's showed by action, not by talk. Love suffers long-suffering. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy others or thankful when somebody else is blessed. Love doesn't lift yourself up and push other people down. Love doesn't behave itself unseemly, meaning that love doesn't do things that on purpose to hurt other people. Love doesn't seek her own. That means it's not selfish. Always got to have your way, you know. Doesn't seek her own. They seek for the well-being of others. You imagine if every married couple did this, you'd never have a divorce. This is what love is. This is how it's defined by the one that created love, which is God. Doesn't behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, not easily provoked. not easily provoked. Some people that are saved can be so mean and easily provoked over everything. Don't be so easily provoked. That doesn't show. Are you showing love when you're easily provoked? Pull that car over right there. I dare you. That's being easily provoked. That ain't a good Christian that's hanging their fist out the window wanting to kill somebody in front of them. You know, these things do sound funny, but I'm telling you, people do them. Then they pass you and they said, how I love Jesus on their bumper. You wish they'd take that little thing out their window. Oh, have you ever had this happen? There'll be some. You figure that's probably their wives or something. People do it. Hey, folks, it happens. It does. It's just nothing but hypocrisy. This is what love is. Don't behave yourself unseemly. Don't seek your own. We're more concerned about others. Not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. That means it gives you a benefit of a doubt. If I went up Larry Eccles' house and I seen him walking over the road and he had a can of beer in his hand, you know what I'd think? I'd think someone's probably throwed that out and he's getting that can out of his yard. That gives him the benefit of a what? You know what some people do? I seen Larry Eccles carrying a can of beer down over the road the other day. I bet he's off the wagon again, you know. Is that not how people do? Sometimes things ain't as they appear. I've seen that happen a bunch of times. Sometimes things ain't as they appear. You give your brother, if you love me, you give me the benefit of a doubt. All right, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things. That's forbearance. Believes all things. Hopeth all things. And endureth all things. Love never fails. All God's people see it. Well, I'm going to stop with that, beloved. I've preached way too long. I'm sorry, but it won't kill you. You needed this, and I did too. Yeah, we don't care about that anyhow, do we, Max? Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. Beloved, we got a lot.